I want to thank you for all the prayers and thoughts and different acts of love when Mother was in the hospital. And during those times, you know, when you're struggling and things are tough, for your church family to rally around you is priceless. And so I want to thank you on her behalf and family. And she is home. She's doing better. She's on the mend. And so appreciate ongoing prayers as well. As was mentioned earlier, tonight we're doing what we do once in a while. For our Monday night for the Master, periodically we will have that on a Sunday night. And so we're doing that tonight at 5 o'clock. We do that just for a couple reasons, a change of pace, and also to give some of you an opportunity. Maybe Monday nights are hard to come, and you'd like to come. And so that's an extra way that tonight maybe we can get a few more to come and enjoy serving God together with us. So if you didn't fill out a card and you'd like to come, fill one out, hand it to me or one of the elders, and we look forward to being together tonight. We have, when you come for a Monday night, it's your choice what you want to do. We have ways that you can serve. We have a card writing group, and we have more people we'd like to send cards to than we have card writers. And we have visitation that goes out and encourages people. And same thing, we have more that we'd like to go visit than we have that can go out. We have a prayer group. We have a service group. We always have more to do. We have, if you want to help in the kitchen or child care, set up, clean up, there's something. So we'll do that tonight at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to it. This past weekend, we had our men's retreat. We had upwards of 40 men come out to Frog Road and be together. And I just wanted to share one picture during that time together at our men's retreat. It was outstanding. And so thank you for all the prayers. Thank you for all the ways that you help and encourage. And I especially, there are some really, really honorable ladies who made us cookies to take out to this retreat, homemade cookies. I have Joe Richardson to thank, because one year all he said was there was no cookies. And ever since then, we have not only cookies, but homemade cookies. That's a blessing. All right, today, growing in the kingdom. Growing the kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus taught in parables, and one of his parables was the parable of the what's called the sower and the seed. And in Matthew 13, Jesus tells a story of a sower that goes out and he sows seed. And the seed, some falls in different areas and it grows in different ways. Some falls on the path and it dies. It doesn't grow at all. Some falls on rocky ground and it grows for a little while, but then it dies. Some grows among the thorns and it grows for a little while, but it's choked out. It keeps growing, but it doesn't produce. And then some falls on good soil and it produces grain, hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. So Jesus taught in parables, and the listeners didn't always understand. And so Jesus, in this chapter, Matthew 13, verse 18, he explains this parable. He goes into detail. And I want us to go through this parable and learn. There are many lessons to learn. And so we'd like to do that this morning. And as we do, I want you to know you are one of these seeds. Everyone who has ever heard about Christ is one of these seeds. So verse 18, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." When he told the story earlier in the chapter, verse 3, he says, "The sower went out to sow." And so we'll pause here just for a minute. This is a reminder, our job is to sow seed. And I contrast that with our job is not to force people to surrender their life to Christ. We're not, our religion is not that way. Our job is to offer. Our job is to sow. And so even though we're not to force people to be like we are, it doesn't mean that we're not to be passionate about what we're sowing. If you have your Bible with you this morning, hold it up just for a second. If you have your Bible on your smartphone and you read it off your phone or tablet, hold that up. If you have a smartphone and you didn't know your Bible was on that, go ahead and hold that up with us. And I mean no disrespect, but if you just need a fifth grader to show you how to get the Bible on your smartphone, that's a fact. But the reality is we have the seed. That's the Word of God. That's the gospel, the good news. We have it. We have it in all different forms. It's still the Word of God. We have it to share. We have it to sow. We have knowledge of salvation. We have the knowledge of how to be free from emptiness, free from worry, free from fear, free from aimlessness, free from sin. We have that. Do you know how valuable that is? We have something that is priceless. We know the way for people to come to their Creator and walk with Him. And on a path leading to eternity, we have the seed. We need to sow it. And so if you need a message today, take that one. We have seed. We need to sow it. We need to get it to soil and see if it'll grow, because some it will grow. We recently obtained, there are many ways to let our light shine. And so just for you to know, we recently obtained these stickers that a person can, you can put in the back window of your car. You may have seen these on other vehicles. And this is just a way to say, this is my church home. And I'm happy about it. I'm proud. And I'd like to invite other people to come. We have more of these at the Welcome Center. We need more ways to let our light shine, don't we? We need, the world needs what we have.
That's right.
The question is, how do we get it to them? How do we get them to us and to God? And so we have seed. We need to invite people. We need to offer for people to come with us. We need to reach out to people. We need to pray. We need to sow. All right, verse 19. Here's another, regarding this first set of seed. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, that'd be the devil, comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. This seed never grows, or does not grow. And Jesus taught in parables. Remember, one reason he taught in parables is because some of the listeners were not genuine. They didn't really want to know. They didn't really want to understand. They were there to try to catch Jesus, trick Jesus, trap Jesus. And so Jesus would teach in parables. And in fact, in verse 13, he talks about, though hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. In verse 14, he talks about a prophecy from Isaiah 6, verse 9, that says, people's hearts has grown dull. This part here, this seed, where it falls and they do not understand it, they don't want to understand it. They reject it. Their heart is hardened. If you wonder, why are so many scientists atheists? There's a very simple answer, because in all of creation, whether you look small, you look large, wherever you look in creation, you see God. You see a creator and a designer. Why are so many scientists atheists? The answer is this. Their hearts are dull. They don't want to believe in a higher power that they would have to answer to. And so there are those people in the world. Now here's the scary part though. When this individual rejects the word, the devil comes and takes it. He takes it. It's taken away. As opposed to, you contrast that. In other words, the seed doesn't lay there ready for rain, ready for the soil to change. Some people may get one chance to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. A person could always come back. They could always change the state of their heart. But the frightening thing is, listen to me, if a person wants to reject God, the devil will help them. If we want to harden our heart to sin, the devil will come and he'll be our teammate. And that's a frightening thing. So let's read on. Verse 20. Here's the next seed. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This is one that in Mark's record of this, Mark chapter 4, it says there's no depth of soil. This person, they become a Christian, but they're not spiritually strong. They don't get strong enough. They don't get grounded enough. They don't get connected enough. At my house, I have in my backyard a lot of trees, and it's very shady, and there's only one kind of grass that'll grow back there, and it's fescue. And it is a pain, because fescue will not spread. It will not survive all of it through the summer. You have to keep seeding it. You have to nurture the seed. If it gets a little dry, it will die. It is work after work after work. And it's the same analogy here with seed. What it takes for a seed to grow into a strong plant, it takes effort. It takes nurturing. It takes watering. And this seed, it doesn't get that. It doesn't get the roots that it needs. And these fall away. And when members of the church fall away, the church loses. The reality is, statistically, all of us here, in 5 years, we won't all still be faithful. That's why I say you're one of these seed. Which one are we? The devil is coming at each one of us. And if your roots are not strong enough, if you're not grounded enough in truth, if you're not connected enough, if you've not grown strong enough, the devil will come at you in one way or another and try to drag you away. And those who are here for the long haul, the difference between those and the ones who fall away is not that the devil didn't attack the ones that are here, but they withstood it. And I'm not saying they're better. I'm saying they got stronger and closer. There's a reason God wants us together this morning. We need each other. Because when we struggle, the devil he loves it, and he's trying to drag us away. I've heard from more and more through the years who've come back to God and the church, and they talk about when they were away, and they talk about the guilt when they're away from God, and the shame when they're away from God, and the fear, and how it was hard for them to come back. They didn't realize that we would love them. They didn't realize that we would welcome them. They didn't realize that we would not shun them. We would not run them off. We would not beat them over the head. They didn't know. And so I want you to know that we need to not only be sowers of the seed, we need to be savers of the fallen. We need to go out and get the ones that have fallen. We need to go after them. And it's valuable to them for a minister to come or an elder to come. That is valuable. But there's a unique value in just a brother or sister in Christ coming to them and saying, I just want you to know. And it could happen like this. Drop by their house. Don't go in. Say, hey, I came unannounced. I don't want to come in. I just want you to know I miss you. Amen. And your church family loves you. And we miss you. And I don't know what's going on in your life. But we pray for you. We love you. And would love to see you back worshiping together with us. That's we need to go after the ones that have fallen. And there's someone, very likely someone who's fallen, that you are in a unique position to reach out to. Verse 22, next seed. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This soil, it hears, it follows, it grows. This is unique. It does not fall away. It does not die. This seed might be you. This seed might be me. Because this seed is still in the church, so to speak, with the church, but it's lukewarm. We might describe it as being in no man's land. One foot in the church and one in the world. Remember Jesus, there was a time he went over to a fig tree and he went to pick a fig, you know, pull a fig and eat it. He went over to the tree, it didn't have any figs on it. It should have had figs, but it didn't. You know how sometimes a plant or a tree should be producing, but it's not. And Jesus cursed that tree, and the next day they came back, the apostles marveled. The next day that tree was withered to the root, dead. And that's how we know from Revelation. Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I want you to be hot. But if you're not going to be hot, it'd be better that you be cold. We all feel this way about something. There's something you could probably think of. For me, I don't know why I'm this way, but sometimes I will need something to write with, and I'll go, we have gobs of pens at my house, pens and markers and all those kind of things. And I'll go pull out a drawer and pull out a pen, and I'm just needing to write something down real quick, and the pen won't write. And I try to write again, it won't write. And I try to press down harder, the thing won't write. And I not only do I throw it in the trash, but I throw it in the trash with a lot of frustration, right? I throw it in the trash. And I know it's kind of weird, but it fits this point that God is teaching us, that this pen has one job, and that's to write. And if you're not going to write, we don't need you. You can go out with the trash, right? We got enough clutter in this house. So we remember Ephesians 2:10. God said we were created for good works. We're not just breathing air. We're not just living our life the way we want to live it. Be happy. We're not just chasing all of our hopes and dreams, and may every wish of yours be granted. You know, things that we might naively wish for someone, but we were created for good works, and this seed does not produce. Notice the reasons why. This is something I think we can all relate to, and you may have been at some point in your life this seed. Why is it not producing? And the reason is the cares of the world. You may have a lot on your plate right now. The deceitfulness of wealth, of riches. It's easy to fall into that trap, to chase it, to work hard, and work so hard we're pulled away from God. We're no longer producing for God. Mark chapter 4 describes this. It says, desires for other things. I think that gets a lot of us. It's easy to desire other things, isn't it? There are a lot of things in this world to take our time and attention, and there's a time and a place for all that, but God has to be first. The bottom line is, this person, this seed, they are distracted. And at our men's retreat, we tried to address this need directly, because our theme was the word relentless. Relentless. We want to be men of God, and to share this thought with you as soldiers of God. We want to be relentless. We don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be over, picking dandelions when we need to be in the battle. We want to be relentless for God. We're having a new members luncheon today, and that's a part of what got me thinking about this seed. Because when new people come, I want to say a couple things about our new people. When new people come here, if you're new here, you need to know a couple things. And the first one is, you need to know how much you bless us. You do not realize how much you bless us. So I'll give you an analogy that makes a lot of sense. When a family gets a new baby, when a new baby comes into a family, that infant is a priceless blessing to the family. The baby is a blessing to mom and dad. Mom and dad are just speechless about it. And after a few days, they're barely conscious because they can't get enough sleep. But everyone else in the family, right? Grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, the family is so special, having a newborn in the family. But the newborn has no idea, right? Has no idea. And new members, I just want you to know, you give us new life. You breathe new air into us as a body. You are a huge blessing to us, your church family. Now, secondly, we want you to know that our desire is that you would grow into strong seed. A strong plant so that you can withstand what Satan's going to bring to you. We want you here 5 years from now. We want you here 20 years from now. And for that to happen, you need to get connected, involved. You need to grow in knowledge and in truth. You need to grow in relationships so that when hard times come, you have strength. And we want that for you. All right, verse 23. Here's this is what we're really after, all of us. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. A subtle reminder here, we're not all the same. We need to bear fruit, but your fruit might not look like someone else's fruit. And I remind you, many of you are producing fruit and no one knows it. It's not in the church bulletin. The preacher never brags on you for it. You're just doing it quietly. And that honors God greatly, doesn't it? Producing fruit. But our fruit doesn't look the same and it's not the same amount. But this is the one who hears, he accepts Christ, he submits to Christ, he grows, he bears fruit. This is the one who is active. They are serving, they are helping, they are producing, they are generous, they are spreading the word, they are helping the kingdom to grow in one way or another. I want to close with this thought, and I haven't even asked my brother permission, but I know him, and he would let me do this. I want to tell you something Ronald shared with us when he first came here. He shared that when he came in as a first time a visitor here, that he marched right down here and sat right up here. And what he was telling us in that, how he went about that, is he didn't want to just come and be a member on the fringe. He didn't want to just come here and be a quiet part that no one knows, but he wanted to go in with 2 feet. If this is going to be my church family, I want to be all in.
Amen.
All in. And Ronald, we love you for that. But that's what we need to be, right? We need to be in this together because trials are going to come our way. And so I remind you today, there are a lot of lessons from this parable. I'm sure that God has something in particular about this that each of us need. But I remind you, we need to be sowing seed. We need to be helping seed grow. We need to be producing fruit. That's our job in the kingdom. We have a loving God who will help us with it. We're going to sing an invitation song this morning, and there may be something on your heart that is weighing on you. You may be battling the devil right now, and you need more prayers from your family. If there's one here that has not given their life to Christ, and you're ready to have your sins washed away, become a child of God, we'd love to do that. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Make me a servant, Lord, make me